Dip, 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 dip. Sha-la-la-la, sha-la-la-la, puddle. Sha-la-la-la, sha-la-la-la, puddle. Sha-la-la-la, sha-la-la-la, puddle. Sha-la-la-la, sha-la-la-la. Good evening. This is the Labor Exchange, and I am Dennis Kreese, a member of the Boulder Area Labor Council, AFL-CIO. The subject of tonight's program is teacher issues, Boulder Valley School District, and the state of Colorado. With us, as before, a very special guest to address this issue is Tina Mew, President, Boulder Valley Education Association. Tina, thank you for being back here at on the Labor Exchange at KGNU.
Dennis, thanks so much for having me back again.
Tina, let's do some background. As before, how long have you been employed as a professional educator, teacher with the Boulder Valley School District, and or the state of Colorado? And with that, how long have you been president of the Boulder Valley Education Association?
So I student taught here in Boulder Valley Schools, and then I got my first job in 1990, so it's going on a long time. So 26 years. So 26 years here, exactly. And so I've worked that entire time in Boulder Valley, and this is my second term as president of our teachers union, and there I have 2 3-year terms, so I'm in the second year of my second term, so I have 2 more years left, and then I will happily look forward to going back to the classroom.
Great. Your academic background is impressive. Could you share that with this KGNU listening audience, especially our new younger listeners?
So I'm a science teacher. I am a proud middle school sixth grade science teacher, and this career is a nice one because it affords people the opportunity to take breaks and, you know, model for their students lifelong learning. So I was able to go back early in my career and work on a master's at CU in plant physiology. And then I went back, I came back to teaching for a while and then went back to finish the second half of that. So I have a doctorate in plant physiology, but very happy to teach middle school science and hopefully model again that lifelong learning, love of learning for my students.
Great story, Tina. Tina, on a more collective basis, could you comment on how all teachers are upgrading their skills on an ongoing basis?
Yeah, so I'm really excited about this at BVSD particularly. So the Teachers Association, we've been doing work with BVSD very collaboratively for the last few years to update our evaluation system, our educator effectiveness system, and tied to that are upgrades in our professional learning system. So now we are working toward and implementing a system where communicative and collaborative kind of evaluation system, good conversation between the evaluator and the person being evaluated. And then in the past, if let's say one of your goals is to work on differentiation and during your evaluation it's discovered that you need some pointers in that area, your evaluator might have said, well, you know, yes, you're not totally proficient in this, and good luck figuring out how to fix that. So now we are merging our professional development system with our evaluation system so that if you want to work on something, there are offerings in the district, and you can, your evaluator can say, you know, I know a couple things, a couple courses that you could take to really work on that. So we're really excited to be headed in that direction.
All right, then, Tina, let's do an update. Boulder Valley Education Association and the Colorado Education Association. So with that, at this point, how many teachers, full-time and part-time, are employed by the Boulder Valley School District? And, of course, this is a labor union show. How many percentage are dues-paying members to the Boulder Valley Education Association?
So I haven't looked at the most recent numbers, but I'm going to say we have about a little over maybe 1,800 teachers in this district. And in our association, we are just under 1,500 maybe. So the last time I looked, we were nearly 80%. And I have to tell you, Dennis, I'm just so proud of that because we aren't really going out and having, doing recruitment or membership drives or anything like that. What we do is we do good work in partnership with our district, and When people join our association, they say to me, I want to be part of you because this association does good work. And this association is how we have our voice. And I want to be part of that. It's totally voluntary. And yet we're at 80% and growing.
All right, then. And Tina, you have teacher representatives. For me, I call them union reps in all the schools.
Yeah.
How does this complement your leadership as president of the Boulder Valley Education Association?
Oh, yeah. I couldn't really do any of this. So our leadership is very distributed. So, yes, okay, I'm the president of our association, but that just means I'm the face. So I come and see you and do radio shows and speak in public and try to represent the members well. But the real work goes on in the building. So we have, we call them association representatives, same thing, union rep, in every building. And actually tomorrow we have a training for all of our association representatives, just as the school year starts, to remind them about, you know, how do you foster good relationships with administration in the building? And how do you make sure that BVEA, our association, it's clear that we are an integral part of the BVSC system and the system in a building? How do you create a faculty affairs committee, we call it, in a building to facilitate good communication with administration and resolution of problems at the building level. And all those kinds of things are the domain of the association rep in a building. So they are the real leaders on the ground in the buildings, and I try to support them in any way I can because, you know, this is who we are. It's not me. It's all of us working together. And the more I can support leaders in the field, the better we are off, the better we are as a whole association.
Tina, let me just finish up this segment. How does the Colorado Education Association represent all public school teachers throughout the state of Colorado?
So just as I have association reps in all of our buildings, BVEA has that, CEA, I am a local representative of CEA. So we have many local associations all over the state. We meet regularly to talk about how are things going all over the state? What are our issues from rural places to inner city Denver to places with a lot of charters to places who have nothing like that to one room schoolhouses in Gold Hill? You know, so it's important to have sort of an idea of what's teaching like across the state and how can we support each other. And CEA really brings that all together. I want to mention also that we are collectively, we have just under 40,000 members as a state organization. And it's very important that our legislators understand that we are the voice of education in our communities. And so CEA also brings together our political action, and we endorse candidates and we consider initiatives as a state body, which I think is, a stronger thing to do. Again, we are stronger when we act collectively and keep everybody's collective needs at heart.
All right, Tina, let's move into, the content of the show. All that was very good. And this is teacher issues. As before, attempts via various media sources are made to define teacher unions and teachers as two distinct, albeit separate, entities. Tina, what is wrong with this analysis?
So here I sit, and I'm the president of our teachers union, a thug, if you will. I'm the union thug. So when people think about, the union, there is no separation. I'm a teacher. I've been a teacher for 25 years. I love sixth graders, and I have colleagues who are teachers. It's me. So teachers unions are the teachers. So attempts to discredit teachers unions and say, the union is one thing, the union bosses are one thing, and then the teachers are an entirely different thing. You'll hear this from some politicians who say, I love teachers and I hate teachers unions. That is not possible. It is not possible to both love teachers and hate teachers unions.
Tina, has the NEA, the National Education Association, the national umbrella organization, and the CEA, state organization, which we already talked about, And your union, the BVEA, the local, have they been successful in reframing this perception? I mean, you just did a great job with it.
Well, I think so. And I think, Dennis, we were talking about how I come in every year and it's a lovely annual tradition that we have, and we have a similar conversation. And I remember us talking about this frame that people have, unions as separate from teachers. But I think that even in the last year, that's really changed. I hear politicians saying that less frequently now. It doesn't seem to really play. I think that as the country has responded to things like over-testing and as parents have been really paying attention, I think all over the country we see our communities saying, well, who are these people who think they have the interests of my kids in mind? Because I know who has the interests of my students at heart, and it's their teachers. We love our teachers. So who's trying to badmouth our teachers, and who's trying to say that their union shouldn't be supported? I see sort of a groundswell of support for unions, for teachers' unions across the country. And, you know, we still have a long way to go. We still have people who want to draw the distinction between union and teacher. But I think that we're moving in the right direction, and we have the support of our parents and our communities.
Great. Tina, the quote-unquote, the Colorado Priority Citizens Initiative will not appear on the ballot this year. I received that from Lisa Weil, Executive Director, Great Education Colorado, on Tuesday, July 19, 2016. Why was this campaign suspended, and what would this ballot initiative accomplish in the context of Colorado schools, teachers, along with roads, mental health, and senior services, without raising taxes?
Oh, yeah. So we're still sort of in mourning about that because in BVEA, we did a lot of work with our community and with Great Education. So we formed a thing that we are calling a body. We're calling the Boulder Valley Community Partners. And that included members of our district accountability committee, so parents. It included members of our district parent council, as well as employees like administrators from Boulder Valley who would, of course, do this work on their own time. And, of course, teachers from our education association. And we were really meeting together and strategizing and meeting each other at the farmer's market or the Louisville Street Fair or, you know, any place where we could collect signatures. And we were just really, we were doing this all summer, and there were communities around the state that were doing the same thing too, and Great Education was coordinating us all, and it was just a big, very hopeful effort. And we were doing this because some of your listeners might not be familiar with TABOR, but that's Taxpayer Bill of Rights, people call it. And that says that we can take in money in this state. So we can take in a certain amount of revenue, but it's capped. So above that cap, you have to give refunds. And they're trickling little refunds. So people last year received anywhere from, I think it was $13 to $41 of a little, you know, tax rebate because we collected revenue, because our economy is doing well and we collected revenue in the state above that cap. So Colorado Priorities, we were asking people, and people seemed very favorable to this. This is a nonpartisan issue that came about from these conversations, Building a Better Colorado, where we had support of Democrats and Republicans. And it was just really this effort to say, what are our priorities? What do we need in this state? So what this would have done is relax that TABOR cap for 10 years, allow us to keep money above that cap, and use the money for very specific things. So 35% of that would have been to education, 35% of it to transportation, and the rest to mental health and senior services. And literally, I talked to hundreds of people in my own signature gathering efforts, and there was wide support for this. And it was even polling pretty well. But, you know, it's a tough election year. There are like, I think there were like, you know, 15 to 20 different petitions out there gathering signatures. And in this day and age, you have to pay signature gatherers, actually. So there are many of us who were, you know, volunteers gathering signatures. But I think that the realities of, you know, paid petitioners to get something on the ballot and then running an entire campaign complete with TV ads and all of the media and all of that, I think it was just, you know, too much for the people who were running this campaign. But I've talked to many people. We're still hopeful. We made great partnerships. As I said, the Boulder Valley Community Partners, we are ready to go on the next thing, because even though we're not pursuing Colorado priorities anymore, that doesn't mean anything happened to the problem. The problem still exists. It would have meant hundreds of millions of dollars for education in this state, and that's sorely needed. And we stand ready for the next opportunity to fight for funding in the state.
Tina, let's move on to another quote unquote reformers. Throughout the United States, there are numerous movements to, again, quote unquote, reform education without input from educators like yourself in the classroom. How do these movements interface with the ongoing push for charter schools and vouchers in Colorado and the United States? And just to finish that up, why do these ideas fall short of real reform, if actually needed at all in many places?
Well, again, I'm happy to come back this year with a positive report on the direction of this. So you may have followed that, you know, we were operating under this No Child Left Behind system in the United States. Yes. Dennis is making a two thumbs down symbol. It's really good. And so that has been replaced by the ESSA, we call it Every Student Succeeds Act. And ESSA makes very clear that the control is not going to be at the federal level anymore. It's very important for communities to have some say into the kinds of policies that are implemented for our students. And so we in Boulder, we enjoy this already. In BVSD, we enjoy a good relationship with our school board and our administration, and we make decisions together. But, you know, there are still federal mandates that influence legislation at the state level. And ESSA really has said, you know, that's not going to be the case anymore. So as an association, as a local association and a state association, we are looking forward to the opportunity to have even more say at the local and state level about how we educate our students. So this idea that reformers were putting out and No Child Left Behind was really supporting this, that, you know, teachers are to blame and what we need to do is these accountability systems that punish teachers and all of that. That's sort of old news. And now we're moving into, you know, working together and supporting the systems and, you know, making decisions at the local level again. So I look forward to that.
Tina, I got one question, and we talked about it last year, and I think you've already talked and answered the questions in terms of the, you know, the perception of some people of looking at teachers as missionary work. But
yeah.
We might have time to get back to that, but I really want to move into this. And again, it's a local, it's a Boulder Valley Education Association and Boulder Valley School District. And with that said, how does the healthy relationship between the Boulder Valley Education Association and the Boulder Valley School District challenge the aforementioned very bad ideas, you know, the reformers, the, you know, the whole missionary work perception? And with that said, could you comment on the quote unquote, the success effect, a continuing program by the Boulder Valley School District, especially two of its six priorities, educator growth and development, one, and educator pipeline? And I extracted that article from Superintendent Bruce K. Messinger on his Back to School edition of the Daily Camera, Sunday, July 31st, 2016. And I loved what I read.
Yeah. So we do enjoy a good relationship. What I'll say, I'll start with the success effect part of your question. So our association, although we work closely with our state association, we're part of CEA, but the work that we do here, most of that work is in partnership with the Boulder Valley School District. So we had teachers there at the beginning phases of the success effect. We have teachers on the steering committee who are excellent voices. We have teachers on every single success effect committee. So there are six areas that you just referenced. And even though, you know, those two, professional development or growth and development, educator growth and development and pipeline are directly related to employees, we have a teacher voice on all of the other committees as well, because this is how BVSD does it. So we really believe in getting the people who are in the trenches, the people who are working most closely with teachers, getting real input, and not just input, actual decision-making power when decisions are made in the district. We believe in including them with building administrators and central office administrators to just and parents and actually students now, and including all those voices and making decisions together. So a lot of our work as an association is in partnership with the district. And if you do that way, then it's not outside bodies coming in and coming up with what you should do. It's us all together determining what we should do. And so it's not reformers with an agenda. It's us and our elected school board coming up with what's the best thing for our kids. And that's a much better approach.
Tina, I got this off of Chalkbeat. I believe that's your legislative bulletin for CEA, and it was from January 6, 2016. It's quote unquote, disparities grow as parents fundraise for funding gaps. Could you discuss this issue in the context of all schools within the Boulder Valley School District in the state of Colorado? While necessary to maintain various programs and activities, I mean, I get this, how does this impact poorer schools with higher minority student populations?
Yeah, it's such an important question. And I'm happy to say that, of course, we have a collaborative committee working on this. This came about as a result of our negotiations process 2 years ago now. And we have a committee called the Student-Based Resource Allocation Committee. I know that's a mouthful. But basically, we had members all over the district saying, you know, I have 28 kids, but I work in a school where the, you know, it's a two-parent family and the kids are fairly affluent and they all speak English as their first language. And, you know, so I have these 28 kids, but I know my colleague in another school has, 12 of her 28 kids live in poverty. And, you know, another 10 of them are special ed or qualify for special ed services. And then some of those don't speak English. So I know that my 28 kids are really different from 28 kids in a different classroom. But we allocate resources in terms of teacher FTE. FTE is a full-time equivalent. It's just, I don't know if your listeners know that. But we allocate teacher resources the same way we do in both of those classrooms. So those 28 kids are equal, and we don't really take into account what's needed in the community and the different classrooms. So we have a committee that's charged with looking at a new way of allocating resources across the district. And one thing that they're really looking at is the fundraising capacity in different communities. So we have schools, honestly, that you can fundraise $100,000. If you do that, you can buy paraeducator support, for example, where another school that can only raise $6,000 because of the socioeconomic status of the community, they can't afford that kind of supplemental in the classroom support. So it really is something that we have to look at, because we do have an achievement gap. We do have an opportunity gap in Boulder Valley, and this might be playing a role. So we have, again, a collaborative committee with representatives from low socioeconomic schools to higher socioeconomic level schools, and we're working together to find a fair and good solution to this.
All right, Tina. You're just so a lot of quality. The more quality you have is the better, but we only got like 5 minutes or less.
So
the thing is that I have two questions left. And
Let's be efficient
with these last two. And again, it's like funding, finances, K-12 public schools. And this is quote unquote Colorado superintendent's call for more funding. And that was in Colorado Public Radio Chalkbeat, January 8, 2016. So two questions within this is, it, could you give an update with this collective effort by the superintendents with the issue this past Colorado State Legislative Session?
Yeah.
And what are the primary issues, details for all these superintendents? And are they similar to what CEA wants, representing all teachers in the state of Colorado?
Well, we already talked about Colorado priorities. That's not going forward. So that would have been a lot of money for education in the state. It's really a fight Dennis, every legislative session. We don't fund schools the way that we're supposed to fund schools in the state. We're very low when you look at the number of states, and you know, we're like, I don't even know the current number, 47th in funding for per pupil funding in the state. It's really very abysmal. So yes, we stand with our superintendents. Those superintendents, rural and inner city and suburban, all those superintendents get together and they say, what do we need and what are we going to push for? And I am happy to, as a teacher, stand with those superintendents. We will be fighting this. We will be fighting it every session. We will be representing it to our legislators, and we're happy to do it together as an education community.
Tina, this might be a solution. We always think it's going to be a solution, but it all depends on, you know, turnout. And that, with that election, Tuesday, November 8, 2016.
Yeah.
What special efforts will you and the officers of the Boulder Valley Education Association be making in the context of voter turnout for the upcoming election on Tuesday, November 8, 2016? And have you and the Boulder Valley Education Association Political Action Committee finished your endorsement process at this point for all maybe local elective offices and ballot initiatives?
Yeah. So I'm happy to say that we had a BVEA member spearhead efforts to do voter registration for all of our new teachers. Our new teachers are in and getting ready for their students, and we've had new educator orientation, and there was a table to, you know, they come from out of state, so they need to change their voter registration. They were very happy to have that, you know, available to them. So I think that team said it signed up like 35 new voters out of the, you know, 100 who were there about. So that's a good percentage of people who, you know, we needed to sign up. And then we have gone through some vetting processes. Again, we work with our CEA to figure out how we will vet candidates at every level. I'm happy to say that going into this fall's election, we recommend Steve Fenberg, and he will be just a champion for public education. So, you know, our thanks to Steve for coming in. And
State Senate candidate from House District 18?
Yeah, to replace...
Our Senate District 18 to replace Raleigh Heath.
Raleigh Heath, exactly. So we look forward to working with Steve and to supporting him in his election. We also participated with some surrounding districts to interview Matt Gray. He is pursuing Diane Primavera's seat.
And I believe that is House District 33 or something.
I'm somewhere
23 maybe.
Yeah.
Broomfield.
So. So our process is we interview, and then that goes on to our CEA board for endorsement. So I think that's where it is now. Our own CEA board will take a look at that endorsement. So, yeah.
All right, Tina, quickly, like
yes.
15, 20 seconds. Do you have any final thoughts or comments for the KGNU listening audience in this context of tonight's subject, teacher issues, Boulder Valley School District in the state of Colorado?
Well, as I say every year, I just want to thank our community. Our community here is the most supportive community in terms of funding education and supporting teachers and all of that. And let me tell you that the teachers in my association understand what it is to work here with such a supportive community. So thank you very, very much.
All right, then, for those of you who joined us late here on the Labor Exchange, the subject of tonight was teacher issues, Boulder Valley School District in the state of Colorado, and with us was a very special guest, Tina Mew, president of the Boulder Valley Education Association. And thank you for being on Labor Exchange at KGNU. Comment line is for this show and any other show is 303-447-9911. And next week, Monday, August 15, 2016, please listen to La Lucha Sigue at 6 p.m. This has been Labor Exchange, and I'm Dennis Kreese for KGNU Boulder, KGNU Denver, and KGNU.org.
Dip, 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 dip. Sha-la-la-la, sha-la-la-la, butter. Sha-la-la-la, sha-la-la-la, butter.
Sha-la-la-la, sha-la-la-la,
butter.
Sha-la-la-la, sha-la-la-la,
butter. Dip, 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 dip,